The text is the Gospel reading from John. Jesus prays, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and that they too may be truly sanctified." Here ends the text. This Sunday is about prayer. It's called Exaude, hear, from the first word in the Latin introit, which is the same as ours. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. And in the Collect, we pray to the now ascended Jesus, King of glory, uplifted in triumph. We pray, leave us not without consolation. This Sunday is about prayer, but the introit and the Collect focus on our praying. We want to focus on Jesus. This Sunday answers the question, what's Jesus doing now? Having been incarnated in the Virgin's womb, crucified, risen, ascended to the right hand of God, but not yet returned to judge, what's Jesus doing now? He's praying. I pointed this out before, that our inserts are wrong when they introduce a gospel reading with Jesus said in brackets. Today it's Jesus prayed. That makes the words of Jesus, and in this case his prayer, all in the past. At one time, Jesus said this prayer. Wrong. You stand for the gospel not because the pastor rather than the elder reads it, but because Jesus is speaking. Though my mouth announces the gospel, it is Jesus whom you give glory to in the present tense. Glory be to thee, O Lord. And though it's my voice which says, here ends the gospel, your praises go here and now to Christ. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Luther asked the question, for what greater thing could anyone desire than to hear God speak once with his own mouth? Today, you don't just hear God speak, you hear God pray for you. This is what Paul in Romans 8:4 told us Jesus does for us. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, he prays for us continually. He always lives to make intercession. You get comfort from someone telling you they're praying for you? How much more so to not only know but hear God the Son praying for you? The ascended Jesus is praying for us now. The first prayer we hear is, keep them in your name. The insert adds the word power, which is not there at all, and changes the word keep to protect. Protect them by the power of your name, it reads. That makes it sound like God's name gives off some sort of force field. It doesn't. People baptized into God's name, people absolved in God's name, people communed in God's name, sin, get sick, and die with no less frequency than those outside his name. What Jesus prays for right now is that sin, sickness, and death not drive us outside of his name. May they not bump us outside of baptism so that our faith suffocates and dies like fish out of water. May they not push us outside of absolution so that without forgiveness, God's name is to us what it is to demons. A torment, an ear-splitting sound we cover our ears from. Jesus prays that nothing from the devil, the world, or our own flesh keep us away from communing with the flesh and blood of our God in his name. What Jesus is doing right now is praying. that you be kept in God's name, and that you be kept from the evil one. At least the insert is consistent. Both places where the word is keep, they translate protect. But again, the thought is not that the evil one not get to you at all, but that you might not give up to him. Luther was fond of pointing out that if we could see all the arrows, spears, and darts the devil has pointed at us at every minute of every day, we would die of fright. Jesus prays not that we might not see the danger, but that we might not give up, give in, and give ourselves over to the fear. Another facet of this petition is Jesus teaching we're no match for the evil one. The Rolling Stones were right. The devil has been there in all the tragedies, crime, and sins of history. The devil is neither eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, nor omnipotent. But he was there when Eve first ate the fruit and when David was slain by Bathsheba's beauty. And he was there when not only your parents, but grandparents and all the greats you can put in a row were born. He knows you better than you know yourself. That's why Jesus asked that we be kept from the evil one, and why he told us to pray every single day, deliver us from the evil one. Jesus not only lets us hear him praying for us, but how his prayers are answered. They're answered by him sanctifying himself and in turn sanctifying us. The problem is that word sanctify. It can mean to purify or cleanse, but Jesus, without sin, needed neither of those. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He was the blemish-free Passover Lamb. Another meaning of the word is to separate for service to God. When Jesus says, I sanctify myself, he is telling us he is carrying out his priestly office and work. I am offering myself as a holy sacrifice. Jesus, the only man who never sinned, the only man who kept every jot and tittle of God's law, offered himself up as a sacrifice in place of sinners. Death, judgment, and devil should have taken us in God's name, because God's law authorized any sinner to be taken away by death and judgment and then to be handed over to the devil for eternity. But Jesus said, take me instead. Though not only did he never depart from God's name, he is true God himself. Jesus gave himself up still to the punishment, the damnation, and the dying we deserve. He gave up the full use of his rights, powers, and privileges as true God so that we might be sanctified. That's his third prayer for us. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The word we don't listen to, the word we don't study, the word we don't take to heart, is the means by which we are kept in God's name and we are kept from the evil one. We listen and we study the words of science, of so-called science, of philosophers and politicians more than we ever do God's word. The thing Luther said, nothing could be greater than hearing God speak but once, we think little of, because he speaks so often. Every Sunday, Jesus speaks in the gospel. Every Sunday, he teaches in Bible class. Every day, his voice sounds forth in your Bible, but it's muffled because your Bible is closed. Depressing, isn't it? But do you think Jesus prays with the intent of leaving you in depression any more than you do when you pray for someone else? Jesus makes his purposes for praying today pretty clear. They really stand out in the Greek because they're all purpose clauses. First, Jesus is praying for us not that we may become one, but that we may continually be one. It's a unity that's already given. More startling than that, Jesus doesn't pray that we continue in a similarity or even a unanimity, but in one substance. Think about it. If the individual parts of the body of Christ are just similar to each other, or even in unanimous agreement, then when one member was hurt, the whole body wouldn't be hurt. No, that only happens, and Paul tells you it does, because we are one in substance. In the Nicene Creed, we don't confess that there is a similarity of saints or a unanimity of saints, but a communion of saints. You are to look at this visible body of Christ fractured into thousands of parts and believe, contrary to all feeling, all seeing, all hearing, that Jesus' prayer is really answered. We are one even as God the Son is one with the Father. We are one despite being unable to share the same loaf that is the body of Christ. We are one despite being unable to share the same cup that is His blood. We are one because Jesus' prayers are always answered. All those kept in His name and all those kept from the evil one will be in heaven together. One day, says Luther, this battle we are engaged in to believe what we cannot see will give way to the eternal safety and glory of seeing. We testify today that we believe Jesus' prayer is answered by not exchanging a oneness of substance, a oneness like that of Father and Son, with a man-made oneness. We refuse to become one by agreeing to disagree with others. We refuse to become one by saying God's word can be interpreted in contradictory ways. We refuse to be one by accepting that there is no absolute truth. And this is a battle. We are called the enemy. We are called the troublemakers of the church. We are the problem in the world. Yet, Jesus prays specifically that we be kept in the world. Oh, but the sentiment is strong among the faithful. Get me out of this vale of tears. Deliver me from this valley of sorrows. Moses, Elijah, Jonah, and Job all prayed that way. Yet none of them were taken out of the world till the Lord was ready to. If the Father did not answer the Son's prayer to keep us in the world, what would be left without Christians? Only darkness and putrefaction. Because Jesus declares His people are the light and salt of the world. Remove light and remove salt and you get a world where no one is saved and nothing is preserved. A third purpose of Jesus praying right now is that we should be forever holy. Jesus prays that He be set apart for suffering and death in place of the world, winning holiness for all. And He prays that we would be forever set apart for holiness by, in, and for the Word of Truth. The liquid word of baptism clothes us with Christ's holiness. The audible word of absolution separates you from sins, leaving you holy. The edible word of communion gives His holy body and blood for you to eat and drink holiness. The more you are kept in this regenerating, forgiving, holiness-giving word, the more of the word you will want to keep and the more word you will want to hear. Hebrews 4 declares the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Jeremiah declares the word to be a hammer and a fire. You cannot be sliced by a sharp sword and not bleed. You cannot be hit by a hammer and not reel. You cannot be burned by fire and not scar. What's Jesus doing now? He's praying for you. And He's piercing, hammering, and burning you with His word to keep you in His name, to keep you from the evil one, and to keep you in His holiness so that you may continue to be the one body of Christ in this fallen world. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.